I want to spend a few minutes tonight talking about how important God's Word is to our lives and in our lives. And when Calvin asked me to teach class, I think it was yesterday, I believe, had a couple of ideas in mind, but I changed my mind today and thought this would be a better lesson for you and for me. To motivate us, we talked in Calvin's recent class about, we read from Ephesians chapter 5, the importance of redeeming the time, making the best use of our time. And obviously there's not a better way we could do that than to spend more time in study and meditation, prayer, in God's holy word. It's so important to us, and we're going to learn some reasons why that is in our study tonight. Mentioned in my lessons past Sunday that God is good and He blesses us with all good and perfect gifts, and we can behold the goodness of God all around us and all the things that He does for us every day. That which comes from Him is good, and because God is good, good and upright is the Lord, therefore He teaches sinners in the way. Psalms 25 and verse number 8. The word of the Lord is right, and all of His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalms 33, verse 4 and 5. And in every good and perfect gift is from above. James 1, 17. One of the greatest gifts that God has given to us, next to the gift of His Son and our Savior, is His inspired Word. Revealed His heart, His will to us. And the Bible says that God's Word is good. It's the Word of truth. You are good and do good. Teach me Your statutes. Your judgments are good. Psalms 119 and verse 68. And of course, obviously we talk a lot about the gospel, which is the what? Good news, right. Why is it good? Why is the gospel good news? It teaches us how to get to heaven. It teaches us how to overcome or how to be forgiven of the curse that we're under of our sins. And it is the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10:15. God's word is holy, it's just, and it's good. Romans 7 and verse 12. And again, it teaches us of His salvation. His nature to love is behind everything we do. We talked about this. God is love, God is grace, and God is just this past Lord's Day. And love is what motivates Him in everything that He does. And that's why He revealed His word, His will to us. I mentioned because he wants a relationship with us. And the only way we can have a relationship with God, because He is good and we are not, is through His word, through our obedience to His Son and being faithful to His word. And through His word, He reconciles us to Him. It has the power to do that. It's behind everything that He does, everything that He will do for us is His love. And of course, love is an action word. He gave us His Son, and He gave us His word. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called His children, or children of God. John is telling us in this text that we should discern, we should behold, we should see, we should discover or observe or comprehend how God has loved us. Again, His word is holy, it's just, and it's good. It's one of His perfect gifts to man. many wonderful tributes been written about the Bible, the bestseller of all time, hopefully the most read of all time. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. The Bible is the only book that meets the needs of man under all conditions of life. To those who are stooped beneath heavy burdens, it is sweet rest. We should read it every day, study it, meditate upon it, and discover the love that God has in store for us. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, as a reminder, verse 15 through 17, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church some 2,000 years ago. Have the days changed any? Not much, have they? Still find ourselves in the same kind of days. The days are evil. Same kind of needs that they had back then. Make the best use of your time, because the days are evil. We're told to walk as wise. What helps make us wise? God's Word. Certainly. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And again, we can find that out in His Word. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, that all Scripture is profitable for us, that it provides us teaching, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It provides everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. It reproves our sinful actions. James talks about us looking into a mirror, forgetting what we see, walking away and forgetting all about it, not wanting to deal with it maybe most of the time. That's not the right kind of hearer. Just a hearer only. But if you're a doer, then you're going to take action on what you read. And it's going to change. It's going to change your heart. Therefore, it's going to change your character. It's going to change your life, how you live. So it reproves our sinful thoughts, actions, and attitudes. And it causes us to make corrections in our life and in our beliefs. And that's why we're here tonight studying it. That's why we study it each and every day in our homes, because of the importance it has for us. It's profitable for doctrine or teaching. Again, God provides us all things that pertain to life and godliness, how He wants us to live a godly life. We can find it in His wonderful book. And of course, it provides the authority we need for the church, and how it should be organized and what its work is. And it tells us to keep ourselves pure. Let's read a few passages. If somebody would turn to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read these very familiar texts to all of us that I would call reproofs in God's Word. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 19. And read down through the end of the chapter, 19 through 26. Whoever has that.
"And the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in they that are Christ are crucified in the flesh with the affections of lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be defiled by vain glory, but walk in one another, envying one another.
He says in verse 16, we're to walk in the Spirit. And then he says it again at the close of these thoughts in verse 25. Walk in the Spirit as opposed to walking in the what? Flesh. What does it mean to crucify your flesh with its passions and desires? Put to death, right. That's what happens when you're crucified, doesn't it? Put to death these things. And he names the works of the flesh. We're not going to go through all these in detail, but I just wanted to read this list. And what does this do? Well, it reproves us. It warns us. If we have a problem with anger or strife or jealousy or idolatry, drunkenness, any of these things, envy, then our conscience should be pricked. And we should want to do something about it. That's what this text tells us to do. We're to put those things away, put them to death, and we should walk in the Spirit. And he tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and in self-control, as opposed to sexual immorality, impurity, fits of anger, and the such like. Self-control, of course, which is one of the Christian virtues. All right, the next list is in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 20. Let's see. Yeah, Ephesians 4, 20 through 32.
But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you.
Okay, thank you, Ken. So it's obvious we can see here that these individuals had made a change in their life once they learned about Christ and were converted to Christ. As such, we have, at least that's our desire. And in the beginning of verse 20, it talks about how we should have learned Christ, how they should have learned Christ. So Christ is our example of how we're to live and how we're to put off our old self. Things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. And then he talks about a few of those here, about falsehood, about anger, about stealing. If you were a thief, well, you got to stop stealing. And you need to do honest work. Stop talking with corrupt talk. I would assume that would be cursing, using God's name in vain. You remember what Peter did on the occasion when he was trying to show those individuals that he wasn't Jesus' disciple? What did he do? He used corrupt talk, right. So that's not what a disciple of Christ does, which is what he wanted them to think. And so, and I'm sure you have experienced this in your life with some friends, family, kin folks, that they talk different than you do. Maybe they tell dirty jokes. Of course, we don't want to be around them if they do. But we've had family members, Lon and I have, who, you know, pretty regularly, I'm not talking about immediate family, but pretty regularly would let a curse word, you know, come out of their mouth. And they knew we didn't appreciate it, and eventually they stopped doing it because they knew they respected us. And that's how light can influence. So that's the example that you want to try to have in front of somebody. And again, the idea of our character being changed because we put off the old self and put on the new man. And we're to walk in the Spirit, which simply means, what did the Spirit do? Well, he gave us God's Word. So we're to walk according to what the Word, how the Word leads us and guides us. Let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another. Any comments about this text? Let's read one more. Colossians 3. These are very similar lists, obviously. But what strikes me is every church needed to hear it. The same things, like we do today. Colossians 3, verse 5 beginning through verse 17. We're to put to death certain things. We're to put on certain things. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Interesting statement. Put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked. So they've made a change. When you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, saying that you put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Down verse 12. But put on then God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. Were you able to perfectly keep this list from the day you were baptized? Did anybody? No. So it's a progression, isn't it? We have to grow. We learn by our mistakes. And I'm 71, be 72 in June, and I still have to deal with some of these things. And I guess it's the way it's going to be as long as I'm on earth with its temptations in this physical body. Until we reach that perfect place one day, we have to deal with the works of the flesh. And we strive every day to put off the old self, keep it away from us, and put on the new self. And again, the more we can read, the more we can study these texts, the more we meditate upon them, the more we can keep them in our memory, what's that going to do for us? Will make me stronger, right? It's going to give me more ammunition to deal with temptation. Any comments?
Andy?
Yes.
To me, verse 13 got a lot in it for all of us.
wrong, done something in public that's a mark against the congregation, and if they come forward and ask for forgiveness, who do we think we are with not doing it? You know?
True.
Somebody could come forward every time we meet. Well, what is it this time? No. Clearly they're struggling. Clearly they need help.
If you think, and the point he's making is, if you think about how much the Lord forgives you every day, how much you need His forgiveness and mercy, then certainly we should be willing to do that. Actually, I would say even before they ask for forgiveness, they're not going to be forgiven until they ask for it. But the point is, I can have that kind of heart, can I? To where I'm willing to forgive them. And I can put it away even before they've even approached me and asked me to forgive them, if they've sinned against me. Don't you think that's true?
Yeah, Luke's record, chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus said, "Take heed yourselves, if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him."
Right.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Christ is our example. Work on it every day. Put these things to death. And again, God's word will help us do that. It's also proper for correction, Paul told Timothy. So when we hear these things, when we read them, then we have to allow them, we have to conform to what we read and what we learn. And again, not like be like the man to forget what we saw in the mirror. We need to take action so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. That we can, like Jim says, to be forgiving, and to have the humility, the meekness. You know, if we have these attributes in our life, if we have a compassionate heart, and we're kind, and we have humility and meekness and patience, then we're going to bear with one another, aren't we? We're gonna have the heart of forgiveness for someone. So we must always remember we must be lights in a crooked generation, like Paul said. They had. We do as well. And people will see that we live in a perverse world. God's word is also, it also trains us in righteousness. We've already quoted that the man of God may be complete or equipped. God's word equips us to be able to go out and do what He wants us to do every day. To be involved in good works. And again, as I pointed out Lord's Day, we're not earning anything by doing that. If we do everything, the Bible says, everything God asks us to do, we're still unprofitable servants, right? Hadn't done anything to earn what God has given to us. And we never can. But we try to do our best to live in righteousness and be holy, not perfect, but righteous, holy. So, a question I want to try to answer tonight. It's obvious that the Bible says those who continue to live in sin, practice sin habitually, do not have fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, chapter 3 teaches us that. If we walk in darkness, there's a difference between walking in darkness and having a moment of weakness and committing a sin and then taking care of it, asking God to forgive you for that. You're not walking in darkness when you do that. You're walking in the light, I believe. That's what walking in the light means. You ask God for pardon when you need it. But we want to remain in fellowship with God, and He doesn't demand perfection, thank goodness, but He does demand a certain manner of life. He wants us to live a certain way, to make the right kind of choices, and that our life should comply with His word. And everyone who commits sin, they commit sin when they fail, I believe, to let God's word remain in their heart. If I lose my temper with Londa, what have I done? I've just forgot what I read in Colossians chapter, right? I just forgot what I read in Galatians and Ephesians. It's there somewhere, or at least it's supposed to be, but I forgot it. Or I didn't forget it, I just let my desires get the best of me, or I let my anger, whatever you want to call it, lack of self-control, I guess you might say, get the best of me. So we want to avoid sinning. Is it possible to avoid sin? Well, one person did. Jesus Christ did, and he did it as a man. We need to remember that. He did it just like you and me. He's tempted in all points as we are. And he lived a perfect life as a man. And you could say, well, he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he was a man in every respect of the word. He was a human being. And he lived a perfect life as a human being. He was tempted. He had weaknesses. But he was able to do it. Why was he able to do it?
You think he had perfect knowledge?
He had a perfect recall of God's will. That's exactly right. We may not ever have a perfect recall of it, or can perfectly apply it to our lives, but that doesn't mean God's word's not perfect. And if we could perfectly apply it like Jesus did, and let him, the more and more we try to imitate him, then the better strength we have, the more control we have, the better opportunity we have to say no to the devil and to live without sin. I'm not perfect, but there's some things I don't do that I used to do when I was 18, 19, 25, 35 years old. You're 35? I don't know how to think. You understand my point. As you grow, there's certain things that don't tempt you any longer. But, obviously, by reason of use, the Hebrew writer talks about, we learn from our experiences and our mistakes, and hopefully we grow, and we get stronger in the Lord. Some brethren teach that a man cannot keep from sinning. And I believe that's Calvinism. I don't believe that's true. We're not born with a sinful nature. When do we sin? What did James say? When is sin born in us? When we're born? Are we born in sin when we're born? No. Sin comes into our life when what happens? James 1. When we give in to our desires. That's right. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it's a sin when you give in to it. You give in to your desires and sin is born. And if you don't do something about it, it becomes full grown. And you're lost. Jesus did it. And here's my text. Psalms 119 and verse 11. Psalms 119 verse 11. David not only knew that he might sin, but he also knew he could keep from sinning. And he knew how he could keep from sinning. And he tells us in Psalms 119 verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." That's the key. 1 John 1. 1 John 2. The word should abide in us. The word should abide in our heart. If we're his disciples, it should abide in us. We should abide in him. We should walk as he walks. And that's the key. And chapter 3, we're called sons, children of God. And if God's word is in our heart, then we won't stumble. 1 Peter talks about that. If we grow in the Christian graces, we'll not stumble. So again, the idea of keeping God's word in our heart. Spurgeon said that this verse mentions the best thing, God's word, in the best place, your heart, for the best purpose, that I might not sin. Wonderful text. Now, the Bible talks about the heart, and it does a lot of different things. It can obviously think and reason. It can question. It can love. It can hate. It's emotional. It's ethical. 1 John 3. If one walks in the truth, the heart reassures us. If one walks in sin, darkness, the heart will condemn us. If it's been trained properly, it will condemn us. And it's also volitional. It can obey. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. It makes decisions. So to keep from sinning, we must hide God's word in our heart. Well, how do we do that? How do we hide God's word in our heart?
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed,
rightly dividing the word of God. We're hiding some of those words tonight, aren't we? We're putting some of them in our hearts right now. And that's what we do. An hour or 2 hours or 3 hours a week's not enough, is it? We've got to. Did you want to say something?
Galatians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Whenever you start reading that in Galatians, you'll find out that all those pieces of armor are the Word of God. And Psalm 119, 172 says, all God's commandments are righteousness. So we follow God's Word, we stay in righteousness.
Right. Well, before I can hide it in my heart, first of all, I have to have a desire, right? I got to have a desire to study it and read it and learn it and understand it. I think it was Daniel was talking about all the little babies, all the milk these little babies drink. And 1 Peter 2, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And he had a wonderful lesson, but I told him after his lesson, I said, well, sooner or later, the babies have to go on to solid food, right? The Bible talks about that as well. You can't live on milk forever. You got to go on to solid food. And again, that's the idea of you don't stay in the milk of the Word. You got to go on. You got to grow. You got to continue to study and grow. We have to have a desire. And then you have to make effort. You have to strive to understand it. And there's a lot of help out there to do that, obviously. From the right kind of people, you need to make sure you're looking for help from. But we should appreciate its power to change our lives. We should hold it in high esteem or high value, obviously. Psalms 119, 105. And then we should store it up in our memory. Jesus was able to do that. He was able in the wilderness to overcome every temptation the devil put before him because he had God's word in his memory. He had it right there to recall it. And that's what he used to defeat the devil, was God's word. And then we should make application of it to our lives. That's the most important thing. Well, maybe I shouldn't say the most important thing, but it is very important. We can read it all day long and study it all day long, but if you don't make application, then it hadn't done you a lot of good. We've got to allow it to change us. And so that's how we hide it in our heart. Well, how does God's Word keep me from sinning? Brian?
I think a lot of it is that you've got to keep your focus. Christ is here. He never lost his focus, what he was here for. He never lost it.
Right. Right.
We let things get in the way. We let.
Where's your focus supposed to be? Set your affection on what?
Things above.
Yeah. Things above, right. That's a good comment, Brian. That's certainly true. We have decided, once you become a Christian and you grow to the point where you have a strong faith and you put on the armor, and you've endured and you persevered and you've learned from your mistakes and you've gained wisdom and understanding, you're able to decide before the temptation ever comes your way, you've decided what you're going to do. I'm not going to put myself in that situation because I don't want to be there, But if I'm ever put in that situation, I know what I'm going to do. That's what Joseph did, you remember? He knew where he was and who he was. Never forgot who he was. What'd you say, Nancy?
And Daniel.
And Daniel, right.
Purpose
young man, Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his fellow young men. They made the decision beforehand. They already knew what they were going to do, what they were not going to do. Is that the last bell? I'm not through. Tell Calvin I'm going to have to come back next week. So I appreciate your comments. Any other comments in the last minute or two? I have a few more texts I wanted to read, but obviously God's Word is very important. It's perfect. It revives our soul. There's great reward if we learn it and live it in our lives. But it keeps us from sinning because it warns us. It makes promises to us, and it warns us of punishment. And again, it informs us of God's love, and it communicates strength to us as well. Any final comments? Thank you.